The past few weeks we've been in a series on the way to the cross. And this morning we are at the cross. We are right there. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45? Matthew 27 verse 45. And our Lord Jesus Christ is now on that cross, and he's hanging there, suspended by the nails that have been driven into him. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour, which is noon, until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we're right here at the event. And this is Jesus, one of his statements from the cross. And what is happening at this event? God was abandoning his son, deserting his son, forsaking his son. That's the event. That is what is happening. He was separating from his son. And we need to know that at the cross, this is God's action. It is not something that just arose because of men and people. It is sovereign action from all eternity. Now, here we are at the precise moment in history where our salvation is accomplished. And you go all the way back to Adam, which may be 6,000 years before the time of the cross. And everything that happened pointed to this moment with Adam and Cain and Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, David, all the way here, pointed to this moment, the predestinated moment, orchestrated by God. This must happen, and there is no plan B. And here is the event. On the cross, God is abandoning his son. Well, what is the explanation? Christ, at this moment, was being made sin. Paul's commentary is that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our Lord Jesus Christ was being made sin for God's elect. Sin for you and sin for me. And at this moment, God was laying on him the iniquity of us all. And while it is God's action, it is my sin that put him there. It is your sin that drove him to the cross. And it is this moment where our salvation is being accomplished. Now, it began in eternity past with God's election, but it is being accomplished here at this moment. Christ was being made sin for us. Now, I don't know how we can get into this, really mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, unless the Holy Spirit just chooses to grip our hearts with this morning. How can we, guilty people, ever sense the impact of being made guilty when we're innocent? Now, a few times in my life, I've been unjustly accused for that particular thing of which I was accused. But I can't claim innocence. I'm already guilty. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not guilty of anything. And so the impact of this, of being made sinful and being made sin, for me, has to break our heart in a sense. He was not only being made sin, he was receiving the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God is an unknown subject today. Preachers don't like to preach it because people don't like to hear it, and it's the most unpopular thing to talk about. But he was receiving the wrath of God against sin. Your sin and my sin, and the wrath of God had to be poured out, or God is not just. He must render his justice on someone. Someone had to pay. And it is his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom he is pouring out his wrath, his hatred, and his anger against the rebellion and sin of men. Christ was not only being made sin, and not only receiving the wrath of God, Christ was atoning for sin. That means as a substitute. So Paul wrote that God's love was set upon us and Christ died for us even while we were yet sinners. God could never wait for us to become good enough. Christ had to die while we were yet in the condition of sin. And this is what is occurring on the cross. And this is the explanation of it. Now, we not only see the event and the explanation, but the experience. Think of entering into this experience on the cross. And there is physical pain, terrible physical pain. What the soldiers did to him in beating him and whipping him was unnecessary. They went beyond the law. So his body is beaten, and he's there in physical pain, driving the nails through the hands or the wrists is not an easy thing to experience. There's physical pain, but more than that, there's the torment of soul. Anguish. Misery. Guilt. An innocent thing, feeling guilt. My God, why have you forsaken me? Sounds like a question. But because the Lord is omniscient, he's not really seeking information. It's a statement that this is happening, and it must happen. And the cry is the fact that it is happening. And it is at this moment that our salvation is being accomplished. through our suffering Savior on the cross. This torment and anguish of what is happening here is beyond our ability to understand. Now there's anguish for the Son on the cross. But think of what was going on in the heart of our God and Father. Now we can speak this way of Him because He's a person. God the Father is a person. He has emotion. He loves and He hates and He feels. And this is what He had to do. He had to do this to His Son. Mm-hmm. Now, parents can get some feeling for this. What if Kelly one day had to cause the suffering for Morgan? Not just see it happen, but have to cause it. That's beyond what was happening to God the Father. To see His Son on that cross, suffering the abuse and ridicule and shame of being hung as a common criminal, and to see the abuse. I tell you this morning, there is nothing more sacred or more solemn at this moment. This is the accomplishment of our salvation. Could happen in no other way. Could happen at no other time. With no other people being involved, because here is the only Savior. The only one who qualifies to make the sacrifice for sin is the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are at the cross this morning. And this is His statement. Now, there is also comfort at the cross. Because we read in Hebrews that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. That joy was you and you and you and you and myself. For the joy of the salvation of His elect, He willingly went to that cross. He endured it for me. He endured it for you. He was forsaken by God the Father so that we would never be. We will never be abandoned. We will never be deserted. We will never be forsaken by God. But He was in our behalf and for our sake. We speak of salvation by grace. It's free for us, but it cost God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the cost was great. God gave heaven's greatest gift. There is nothing more God could have given for our salvation. There's nothing greater in the universe than God's own Son. No money could accomplish this. Just the death of Christ. So here, at this solemn, sacred moment in history, brought about God, by God at the precise, predestined moment, Our salvation is being purchased at a price no one else could pay. What a moment. All history points to this moment. All that happened, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, David, Joshua, the Israelites in the land of Canaan, all that history pointing to the moment. Even the rise of the Roman Empire, holding power over Israel, came to this moment. So the Romans are involved. The Jews are involved. You are involved, and I am involved here with this event. God the Father was involved. Our Lord Jesus Christ is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. All for us. All of this for me. A little boy born in Anaheim. Well, not born in Nebraska, moved to Anaheim. Just an insignificant person. It would take this to save my soul and give me forgiveness and eternal life and heaven. It's a solemn, sacred moment. And yet, it is a moment of victory. It is victorious. The chief project or desire of Satan was to keep from this moment, to try to keep Christ from the cross. And he lost. And here is the moment of victory. Victory in Jesus is here. It sounds like a defeat, but it isn't. This is the accomplishment and achievement of all history, that he should die on the cross for the sins of God's elect. It is victorious this morning, and while it's painful for him, it's victorious for him also and for all of God's people. Here is winning the war. If Christ can be kept from the cross, then all is lost. God's plan is defeated, but he's there. And we're going to consider two more things that he says from the cross. Next week, it is finished. Hallelujah. And here it is happening. He's giving his life. It's victorious and it's glorious. What a moment that we get in on. And that we get to think about this morning. When you think of the world and the public and what is going on and what people are doing this morning in recreation or hither and thither, think of what we get to do. We get to enter into this moment in history and to think about this and to be a part of it as the Holy Spirit has caused us to believe and drawn our hearts to appreciate the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am so grateful to be a believer and to be one of God's chosen and have the privilege of longing for the Word of God and have access to him because of what was done for us. His sacrifice is our salvation. Nothing else. There's nothing about us that is our salvation. There is nothing we could do for each other. It is His sacrifice that is our salvation. May God impress this upon our hearts. Our Father and our God, we thank You this morning that we get to read this truth, this cry from the cross, and to meditate upon it and think about it and to understand what it means for us this morning to be saved from sin, to be forgiven of all of our sin, and to have an atonement for our sin that is perfect, and to know that You are fully satisfied with the death of our Lord Jesus as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. How grateful we are. Burn it into our hearts this morning, and never let us forget this solemn, sacred moment, and yet this victorious moment, and this glorious moment that You have given to us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.